Do you drink pinky out around other people, or do you just do it around me?
No, I just know when people will notice, and that's when I do it.
So what? I'm somewhat actually insulted by that. How?
All we.
What are you trying to say here?
All we do is pour it out all night, pinky up. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Bean. In this show, my co-host, James Tapeleg Grayling, and I will talk about former Avs going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll break down Paul Stastny's departure from the Avalanche. We'll provide our thoughts on the team's free agent pickups and signings, as well as sharing our views on the Ryan O'Reilly situation. Those topics and much, much more Avalanche and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 91 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Bean, alongside James Tapeleg Grayling.
Hi, how you doing?
What's happening, James?
Oh, man, I'm learning so many things today.
We're having a good time learning before the podcast. And we're just going to leave it at that.
So much learning.
Yes. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Did you know, for example,
be careful here,
that retweet does not have a hyphen in it.
I just learned that literally minutes ago.
Yep. Shout out to Kyle Keefe on that one. Thank you very much.
We love you, Kyle Keefe.
What episode is this?
This is episode number 91.
91.
The Sergei Fedorov edition of the Avs.
Sergei Fedorov. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Scored big goals.
But none of them for the Avs because he never played for the Avs.
I almost had you talked into him playing for the Avs, yes?
No.
I tried, ladies.
You made me question it for just like the briefest of moments. I'm like, no.
Mission accomplished. No, there were no 91s. We've got a 92 for the next one. We know that. So we appreciate you guys joining us. We got a little short little update, some happenings going on during the trade deadline and a little bit before that. So all kinds of things to talk about. You want to talk about Sergei Fedorov?
He was good. He was a good player.
He was a good player.
He was a good player. He played for the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. He played for the Capitals. He played for the Ducks. And he played for the Blue Jackets.
He sure did.
He sure did.
Good for him.
I saw a mashup jersey, a Franken jersey. I think it was Red Wings and Ducks of his. And it was just so bad.
Yeah. There. No Franken jersey is ever good. Mm. We'll just leave it at that. You know,
storied player, great player.
A lot of cups.
Yep.
He won a fair amount of cups. Played very well against the Avalanche, unfortunately. Those are some good battles for sure. So we're just going to take you back to a little bit before our last or a little bit after our last podcast and just kind of catch up on almost everything Avalanche. Plenty to talk about. So that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. You ready to do this thing?
I am. I'm just trying to remember if he was actually inducted into the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he was.
I don't think you. How many 500 goals is usually that number that'll get you in? How many goals did he have?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's find out.
Let's see. He had a lot of cups, like I said, though, too. I bet you he had, what, 3 or 4 cups?
483 goals.
So close. All right.
Close, but not enough. Soviet goals, 41 and 22.
How many cups? Is that readily available there? He had a handful. Well, not a whole handful.
I think three.
Maybe a half handful?
Looks like three.
A lot of cups.
Three.
That's a lot of.
That's three of them.
That's a good number. We'll take it. All right. Thanks for the Sergei Fedorov.
Yeah. He stats. Was a great player. Yeah, he was a good just player. Unfortunate that he was on the wrong team.
Got to respect that for sure. All right, let's go back to June 19th. The Avalanche signed Jamie McGinn to a 2-year contract extension. Mm-hmm. $2.95 million cap hit for the next two seasons. He avoids any drama going along with his restricted free agency.
Not that there's ever drama going along with restricted free agency.
Never. And never. It would never happen twice with the same player.
No.
Come on. Sheesh. So Jamie McGinn will be back. $2.95 million cap hit is a kind of a big number for him, but he's got some potential.
You know, I think we're getting up to the point with McGinn where it's like, okay, you know, we have to stop talking about potential and really need to see a little more follow through. When they got him, when they traded for him, he was great.
He was.
Right now, he can use a little.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of a large number. As I look at that number more and more, it's kind of a large number, but hopefully he'll continue to improve and grow.
Absolutely.
As with a lot of guys. So welcome back, Jamie McGinn.
McGinn.
Captain Morgan. Mm-hmm. June 23rd was a Hall of Fame announcement. Two mm-hmm. former Avalanche will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto on November 17th. Mm-hmm. Those two are Rob Blake.
Did he play for the Avalanche?
He did. Okay.
Alongside, wasn't he on Sergei Fedorov's wing?
He was.
Okay.
On his wing. Wow. Nothing you said there was even close. And Peter Forsberg. Have you heard of Peter Forsberg?
Mm.
He's a pretty decent hockey player.
Is he the guy with the facial hair?
Yeah.
He's got those dreamy eyes.
That one guy. He's got those Swedish... blue.
Swedish fish for eyes.
Yes.
Do they make blue Swedish fish? They should. They should if have they like don't, a blue
they
raspberry.
Should be like, oh, this is Peter Forsberg flavor right here. They're the fifth and sixth former Avalanche players to be voted into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Jari Kurri, Patrick Waugh, Ray Bourque, and Joe Sakic are your others.
Jari Kurri was...
I know, but he wore an Avalanche jersey.
No, he did. I'm just saying that, you know, it was more
I know.
For his other...
Well,
other
Ray Bourque, too.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Ray Bourque, you know, obviously longtime Bruin, but obviously everybody remembers him for one thing, and one thing only, that's being a Colorado Avalanche.
And after 22 years,
Raymond Bourque!
I just love it when James does that.
Raymond Bourque! Every so often I sneak up on people in the street, and I just jump on their back, and like, ah, and I'm like, Raymond Bourque!
Raymond Bourque!
And just, they run.
Speaking of, yeah, I was watching Raising the Cup on NHL Network. Mm-hmm. You know, they play it throughout the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They showed Dave Andrechuk getting the cup.
Oh, yeah.
In 2004. He turned to give it to his teammates, and they said, no, 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 go skate that thing. I thought that was cool. Yeah, that's
Dave Andrechuk, the first guy to hoist the Stanley Cup right before the lockout.
Yes.
That was just so weird. And then, of course, he didn't get re-signed anywhere. Cause,
another former Av as well. And
for a moment, he came over with the Ray Bourque trade.
He has over 500 career goals, and maybe someday he'll be in the Hall as well.
He was just, you know, I'm really glad he got it at that time. And obviously, he was aging out, but also considering where things were with the clutch and grab hockey and the like.
It's a totally different
brand
of hockey.
Yeah, it was pretty much the only chance he was going to get anymore. Yeah. Yeah, you know, at that point.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Good guy.
Good Toronto guy.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
June 24th was the NHL Awards night. Moving on for obvious reasons. Avs were hashtag winning. Nathan MacKinnon won.
Did you watch the awards ceremony?
I didn't. I was just keeping up with it on
Twitter. I did not either. And supposedly, like some, I guess it was Cuba Gooding Jr. had a moment.
Yeah, I didn't
I never
watch
saw
that.
About
I,
that.
I don't want any more Cuba Gooding Jr. moments. I heard, he was hammered.
Oh, really? Was that what it was?
He shouldn't have talked.
What was the, what movie was he in? Wasn't he in, where he's shooting a gun on a ship, like battleship of some sort? It wasn't Pearl Harbor, because that was Ben Affleck.
I saw Pearl wasn't Harbor. He's the Navy diver in the Navy diver movie.
I thought that was another one. Anyways, Pearl Harbor, bad movie. Moving on.
Which Cuba couldn't do.
I just wanted to get it to the point that where we could actually say that Pearl Harbor was just such a bad movie, and I saw it in the movie theater.
You got it.
Michael Bay.
You want your money back.
Bayham.
Nathan MacKinnon wins the Calder Trophy for the NHL Rookie of the Year. That was easy. Oh, we got to move on quickly. Hurry. Patrick Waugh wins the Jack Adams for the NHL Coach of the mm-hmm. Year, and Ryan O'Reilly wins the Lady Bing for the most gentlemanly, and he has a lot of conduct. So good for him.
He has a lot of conduct.
He has a lot of
many much conduct.
Not misconduct.
IMDb.com.
Semyon Varlamov finishes second in the Vezina Trophy race.
Vezina.
Oh,
yeah. Pearl Harbor.
What are you doing?
Kate Blanketsale. Go ahead. Just keep going.
Ben Affleck was in there too.
I said Ben Affleck.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I was focusing on the hockey.
Alec Baldwin.
He was in that?
Yeah. Oh. Jennifer Gardner. She was Nurse Sandra.
Yes, she was.
Yes, all right. She was. I have no idea.
Tuukka Rask wins the Vezina Trophy and Marley mm-hmm. named to the All NHL second team. So congratulations to him. A big night for the Avs. Well-deserved. No surprises there. That's it. NHL awards show.
Were you disappointed at all with any of it? Like that Varley didn't win the...
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I think his numbers were the way they were, and I'm not taking anything away from his performances because the defense was what it was. And the Avalanche kind of addressed that. We'll talk about that moving forward, but I think he did well. I think he didn't exactly put the team on his back because they did have some offense to kind of, I guess, support what was going on. But strong year. Mm-hmm. All NHL second team is nothing to be disappointed about.
Quick update. Cuba Gooding Jr. was in Pearl Harbor.
He was?
He was Petty Officer Doris Miller. I know.
Good call.
I'm just saying.
Badge of Honor. What was the Navy diving movie?
Men of Honor.
Men of Honor.
He played Chief Carl Brashear.
He was pretty good in that.
Chief Carl Brashear, I believe, named after Donald Brashear.
No.
Probably not.
Good try, though.
Thank you. He was also in A Few Good Men. So just put that man in a uniform.
Why is he at the NHL Awards?
Because he's one of the, he's like Kiefer Sutherland. He's one of those very recognizable
celebrity
guys that likes hockey. And once you get latched on, you remember how it was when the Vince Vaughn was at like all the Blackhawks playoff games.
Yeah.
And then they dropped him like a hot potato. And I don't blame him. You know, it's like you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench, you can't dodge bad PR. So they, I don't know why he was dropped, but you know, that's the thing with the NHL. Like they'll latch onto somebody like, oh my God, thank goodness you're here.
Amazing.
Oh, we love
someone's
you.
Here.
Oh, who are you again?
Yeah. We you love know? You, Def Leppard. Come do a show and you just put the Stanley Cup down upside down.
That was hilarious. Also, let's not forget that Kevin Smith used to be like the big time bloggy guy for the NHL. And they were all, hey, we love you. And then he became a pothead. And, you know, apparently you can't do that outside of the states of Washington and Colorado. Nobody does that.
No.
Outside of those two states, obviously.
No, they don't. Duh. All right.
Anyways, I did not, my feeling about Varley was that, he was definitely the MVP of the Avs. I mean, he bailed them out on so many occasions.
Many.
Only got stronger as games went on, as he saw more shots, but that's not really the criteria that they're going for. Mm. You know, I mean, maybe it kind of was a little bit with Bobrovsky. You know, you get good numbers on a bad team. And last year, not this past season, but the lockout season, the second lockout, the third lockout season, I guess. Yeah. Are we still in the lockout?
But who's
it
counting?
It still feels like we're in the year 14 of the 2004-2005 lockout. Bobrovsky was playing on a horrible team with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And that, you know, that's going to get you a lot of points in Vezina voting.
Kind of like Roberto Luongo with his first stint with the Panthers.
Exactly.
Setting records with saves in a year, but that wasn't anything that was that great. Yeah.
And you know, he had to be on that team, but you know, again, there's also the question of if you're on a bad team and you look really good, is where's the contrast? I mean, the numbers are nice and everything, but I don't know.
You don't have something
as solid and concrete as, let's say, Corsi and Fenwick.
Right, exactly.
Which I think are ballparks that are in Chicago or something.
Last time I checked.
Teams. Great. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I wasn't disappointed about the, you know, I try not to pay attention to the awards too much just because it's just another reason to get sour about something.
Right.
You know, I mean, people were upset, I believe, about Matt Duchene not getting Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, would you rather have him win that, or would you rather, you know, John Tavares, Rookie of the Year, and on a team that's going nowhere fast right now, you know?
Well, they're going somewhere fast.
They're good. Yeah, Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's true. Good call. Yeah, they are.
Anyways.
No, I wasn't too disappointed. I think those that won should have won. I wouldn't be too upset if they would have lost either. Yeah. They're just trophies. Big deal. All these guys are after one trophy.
Not long after the Blackhawks won their first of their two Stanley Cups so far, because that was 2010, right?
If I remember right.
If I remember right. Vince Vaughn did The Dilemma in 2011. He did Lay the Favorite.
Oh, wow.
And then The Watch. So there might be a good reason why the NHL kind of said, you know, we're not going to focus.
Thanks, but no thanks, Vince.
Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche and Celebrity Edition.
Mm-hmm. NHL celebrity groupie stuff for you as well.
Yeah. The Avs winners, you know, Nathan McKinnon, Patrick Waugh, Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, there was no question.
No, there really wasn't.
Maybe Mike Babcock, because look at what he had to deal with, you know. Look at that depleted roster. Yeah, okay. Go from 23rd in – or 27th in the league. 27th? 29th. 29th in the league.
To third.
First in your division. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Any questions?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
And that's pretty much the show, right? Nothing happened after that, right?
No, that's
nothing
it.
Nothing special?
Well, there was one more move, and then July 1st was like this total there was a storm of things. June 30th, the Avalanche acquired Daniel Briere from the Montreal Canadiens for PA Parents on a fifth-round pick in the 2015 draft. Danny Briere, 36 years old, 684 points in 916 career regular season games, and 116 points in 124 career playoff games. And that's when I think of Danny Briere, I think of big goals, big times, whether it's regular season, playoffs, and that's something that Joe Sakic brought up right away. Mm-hmm. He's a nice addition to our team, but we know he plays well in big games. Kind of like Joe Sakic himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was pretty well documented that P.A. Parenteau did not get along very well with Patrick Waugh for a few different reasons.
Oh, really?
So they were thinking of moving him anyway. This was not a deal that that Patrick Waugh, obviously, and Joe Sakic made for P.A. Parenteau, his original deal. So Briere is 36. I don't know. Did you think much of that move? You hadn't heard that Patrick Waugh and Parenteau didn't really get along?
What I observed more was the kind of the attitude that you would see with Parenteau. He didn't seem super excited about anything. When times got tough, he just seemed like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And when things were getting back together, he just kind of, I don't know. He seemed like he had a big shrug. Yeah, he didn't seem like he had a chip on his shoulder. He didn't seem upset about anything. He just seemed like all he did was shrug through things. And after a while, I was like, yeah, I don't know why. Is this guy really interested in being where he is?
The rumor was lack of two-way play, rumors are rumors. They are what they are.
Right.
I wasn't necessarily sad to see him go, but you hear, like I said, you hear Briere and it looked like his numbers have gone down for the fact that he's getting a little older, but also Montreal plays a little different game.
Well, if you are going to not be a two-way player, you better be Alex Ovechkin. I think, and he's not even bulletproof from it. In today's NHL, you cannot slack on defense. End of story. As you say that, okay, I can kind of see that. The lack of two-way play, but I don't know. I feel like he was very good when he was good, and when he wasn't, he just didn't seem to really care. But
he's having some injury issues. He had the knee issues as well. So yeah,
he seemed a little different when he came back.
Yeah.
I was not impressed with his playoffs.
Big goal in game five. Yeah. Other than the tying goal in game five, really didn't see much of him.
Yeah. And that was and that was a right place, right time pickup.
That was on the offside play as well with Stastny. So, yeah.
And it just kind of came to him. And hey, that's great. I mean, look, I thought that he was good. I thought he was a good player. But, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Pick it up a little.
It seemed like the press really liked him as well. So we wish him well. Hope he does well.
Ryan Boulding's going to be very sad.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's
going to. Hope Danny Briere does well here as well.
Briere, I've been unimpressed at times with Briere. It seems like he hasn't found the right situation for a little while.
Yeah.
Things dried up pretty fast for him in Philly, signing the big contract there. Tries to rebound in Montreal. That's a hell of a pressure cooker. Right. I would not be happy there myself. So who knows? Maybe this is the right move. Get him out on the West for a little while and see what happens.
Sure.
And why not? I mean, what it was, I think it's only 1 year left on his contract anyways.
Yes.
So if it doesn't work out, whoopity-doo. Parenteau, I think, had 2 years.
Two. Four apiece.
Yeah. And Frank, and it's the same money for Briere, but next year the Avs are going to have a lot of cash. And
they're going to need to spend it. Yeah. I expect some of that to go to
McKinnon,
Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah. So anyways, I think it's fine. I think, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a moment when we start talking about the free agent pickups. The big question when Milan Hayduk was what, where's the leadership going to come from?
Right.
And now that Jagr is pretty much, is done, where's the veteran leadership? Well, Danny Briere brings that.
Brings a little bit.
Former captain of the Sabres.
That's right.
Brad Stewart, who was...
Former captain.
Jerome
McGinley.
Former captain.
Wait, Jerome McGinley? Avalanche? What?
Who?
Who's that?
So anyway, it's July 1st.
It's July 1st. And then I think I'll try and go through these in order. I don't know if this will be perfect, but I know the very first move that the Avalanche made was acquiring defenseman Brad Stewart from the Sharks for a second round pick in 2016 and a sixth round pick in 2017. Mm-hmm. 985 career games and won a Stanley Cup with the Red Wings in 2008. So that means that both he and Danny Briere, if they stay healthy and play well this year, will be, wait, let me do the math on, Briere won't quite make it this season, but looks like Brad Stewart will play his 1,000th career game in the NHL with the Avalanche. We've had a few players do that. Joe Sakic, obviously, Milan Hayduk. I know Ian LaPerriere played his 1,000th game here as well. So
did Foot, or did he play his 1,000th with Columbus?
I don't remember a 1,000-game Foot thing here, but yeah, I could be wrong.
Might have been in Columbus.
Might have been when he was gone a little bit. Yeah. So there was that. And then right after that move, Paul Stastny news came out. He signs with the St. Louis Blues for an average of $7 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of complicated. I was a little...
You were mad.
I wasn't mad.
Punching walls.
Yeah, I ran out into traffic.
Punching.
Call that mad if you want to. That's fine.
That's fine. Punching llamas.
I felt a little cheated because I had his back for as long as I did.
Mm. I think a lot of people did for that.
You don't really have a choice. The thing is that he gets overpaid here to reach basically the salary cap floor for a few years. You'd hope he would stick around for maybe a little less, but that's not how the business works anymore.
No.
It's tough to build a winner and keep a winner, and you can ask the Chicago Blackhawks is probably the best the best example of that, where they have to actually move guys because they don't have enough money to sign what they're worth.
So. Absolutely. I mean, that's a good call on the Blackhawks because do you think that they actually wanted to get rid of as many people as they did, like, after the
Bufflin,
first?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did not, and the Avs didn't want to see Stastny go. Now, mind you, if this were 2 years ago, the As fans would have been like, oh, let him go.
Yeah.
You know, if this were 2 years ago and the Avalanche were dangling $7 million in front of him, the Avs fans would have been like, you've got to be kidding. That is crazy.
Absolutely.
And now everybody's upset that he's gone. Eh.
Yeah. I don't know if they're upset. I think they're upset to see him go, especially when he had mentioned at one point hometown discount or whatever. But I honestly, as I kind of work my way through it, I'm like, if the Avalanche would have paid him $7 million a year,
it'd
be like, whoa. As far as his, you know, Duchesne's at six, Landeskog's less than that, and seeing their future as compared to Stastny's future,
where would you fit him? I'd fit him in the 5.25 range.
Yeah,
and if we're doing that, that's $1.75 million less a season.
Yeah,
that's a lot to sneeze at.
I don't blame him for going. Get it. I get that. And I know the Players Association says take as much as you can, so it's fair for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like I said, though, he's overpaid for a little while here. His numbers did not reflect his $6.5 million salary.
True.
But then his numbers start to go up a little bit, and suddenly, he requires a raise, which is just, the nature of the business now, which is frustrating from a fan's perspective, but as a player, I guess you have to love that.
Free agency is basically code for I'm going to get paid, and that's fine.
Especially this year
in the NHL, when the average career is like 4 years, and obviously there are guys who have like a year or less, and that skews it from the guys like your Jerome Iginla's who are, you know, they're playing on crutches at this point
for $5.33 million a year.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I'm saying is that, you got to do what you got to do. And the fact that, he was saying all the right things, and then people were like, well, he said all these things.
He was thanking people on Twitter for making his dream come true.
And, right. Yeah, well, that's welcome to the sports business. That's kind of the, we reap what we sow with sports fans.
Yeah.
When everybody holds everybody so accountable for every single little thing that they say. And then here we are with a situation like this. It's not fun. It's not pleasant, but
yeah, it's part of the deal. It's kind of tough to build a young winner and keep a young winner. Loyalty is where you're going to get paid.
Salary cap and NHL parity.
Yeah,
and those are the two things that are going to keep these teams from being so stacked without a massive hometown discount.
Well, stacked for an extended amount of time.
Yeah,
yeah.
But look at what has happened with the Red Wings over the last several years. They had a big core. Some of them aged out, Lidstrom, for instance. And as they did, they're kind of getting into the same model as the Penguins have been, where they have about three or four guys, and then they have to just kind of plug in one-year, two-year pieces that may or may not work out. And, you know, just because the Red Wings look like the Sunnydale retirement community, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, that the model is going to change by getting anybody younger.
Yeah,
it's going to be pretty much the same 1 year, 2 year contracts because they have paid so much of the top end and they can only keep so many core guys.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It seems like the fans lose out on this, but this is, I guess, how you keep some of the fans too in other places that aren't willing to spend really able to make the moves that would get more people in the seats.
It's part of the you can't have it both ways thing, where you want to, like, if this is, if this was the NFL, you could cut, they probably would have cut Stastny a couple of years ago and said, you know what, this just isn't working out. We're going to cut you. But it's guaranteed contracts now. That's the way that it was negotiated. And you can't have it where you want to get rid of everybody and yet keep everybody else. It's there are 700 some odd jobs basically at the NHL level, and you dance with the one you brought until something like this happens.
Yeah, kind of tough to see him go, but we wish him well.
Yeah, kind of. You know, it's I still think about the way that people looked at him several years ago, and the fact that it wasn't he wasn't well liked by the fans because of his play for the amount of money. Guess what? You got your relief. Enjoy.
Before I forget my point,
do you have
as far as I actually do have kind of a point.
Did I have one?
You did.
Oh, good.
You reminded me of my point, so your point was good enough.
Points.
If Ryan O'Reilly, especially Paul Stastny, since he's a little bit older, were that good, why weren't the Avalanche a little bit better through the years, throughout the last, you know, 5-6 years?
Joe Sacco.
See, and that's what somebody said on Twitter right away as well. It's like, yeah, I got that too.
Okay.
Plus, there wasn't any kind of a team, but I don't know. I'd like to view it as more of a big picture game, although nobody does. When it comes to getting paid, we're not talking about team records here. We're not talking about, well, I led my team to the playoffs. No. Right. It's look at my numbers compared to my old numbers, and for other people's numbers, here's what I'm worth, and that's what I'm going to. Somebody will pay him that, and that's what happens.
I think there are a couple factors, and one of them obviously is Joe Sacco.
Yeah. And Greg Sherman too. I think there was more to that entire deal.
I think so.
Yeah.
But taking a look back, you know, I mean, the Avalanche, one of the problems of course was the bad defense, for a couple of years there.
There was all kinds of problems.
There was
no offense.
When you have no defense, you don't have the opportunity to really play a lot of offense.
Yeah.
They had so few shots on goal, and everybody kept saying more shots, more shots, more shots. Everybody wants to see more shots, but when you're constantly having to play defense because your forwards are having to come back so much. And that's not two-way play. That's two and a half way, basically, because your one way is your offense, and you're spending one and a half as much effort on defense. You know, it's you don't score goals by always protecting, and that's what they kind of had to do for so long.
Yeah,
some of that was Sacco, some of that was Greg Sherman, as you said.
Sure.
You know, the beefing up of the defense. I mean, they were basically throwing almost dead cows out there. They wanted so much beef. And that's what and no puck moving defensemen, all of that. So I think that there is a little bit of an excuse there.
I hear you.
You know, and also, you know, again, Jose Theodore, was it the good Jose Theodore or the bad Jose Theodore? Who knew what was going to show up that night? Craig Anderson, same thing sometimes.
Peter Budaj,
no. Boom. You know,
I hear you. It's definitely a team effort.
I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying that, you know, there are other reasons than the players themselves. The players themselves obviously value themselves that highly, and the Blues obviously, value him that much within the budget that they, you know, that they can, you know, and they're going to spend some. They're going to spend a little more than the Avalanche, and that shouldn't be a surprise
because they can. They need to. Their fans are starting to get restless with the success during the regular season and kind of the tough times.
Oh my goodness. Look at what happened to them. They had to do something big.
Yeah.
I think it was Elliot Friedman that said something to the tune of, oh boy, I hope I'm not going to mangle this, but I probably am.
Probably.
That no playoff contender, every playoff contender had at least one $6 million center.
Huh.
And, the Blues basically now have that.
Right.
And, whether or not that, you know, whether or not that, how much the money matters, you know, the value of that position and how highly that position can make or break your team.
Yeah.
And Stastny was not that position on the Avs. He was second line, sometimes third line center.
Yeah.
And the Avs are deep at center. There's your value. It's not just dollars for dollars. It's not how much are you worth. It's like, how much are you worth to me? Because I already have this depth here.
Speaking of this, as far as the, something like that, please, as far as the style of play as well, mm-hmm. I think he's going to have a little bit of a tougher time with the Blues, who are more of a physical team. They're not a speed team. They're not going to kill you with their speed for the most part, or at least as much as the Avalanche would. How's he going to fit in with that system? That's more of a Hitchcock, slow things down.
He's beat
the crap out of people when that is not Stastny's game.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the thing with Hitchcock is he's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
And he learned a lot from his experience in Columbus, where he was not, they didn't pay as much attention to him. He had a lot of younger guys, and he had to learn that the NHL is more star based now than it was before.
Yeah.
And I think he learned a lot because of that.
Yep. I hear you.
Anyways, so he may fit in okay. I think that Hitchcock will make a lot of effort to make him fit in,
yep,
but it is going to be a learning curve.
Yeah. I'm curious to see it.
Yeah.
So, farewell, Paul Stastny.
Yep. I mean,
we'll miss you.
Yeah. Why not?
Sure. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. But you know, at the same time, it's hard to look at a guy that people thought he was going to be the face of the franchise for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but then along came Duchesne. Then along came Landeskog.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have MacKinnon, and it's like, you know, those are the faces of the franchise.
There's only room for so many guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So due to lack of,
wow, that was a long rant on that. Sorry.
All right.
About that.
That's all right. He deserves it. Due to lack of some overpaying and lack of depth on the defensive free agent market during the first day of free agent signings, the Avalanche signed defenseman Nick Holden to a 3-year extension. He was making $600,000 against the cap, I believe, up until now. And now for the next 3 years, he will make $1.65 million. So he made himself some money last year. Mm-hmm. He struggled at times, as we well documented, but he had, what, 10 goals during the regular season? I know he had at least one during the playoffs. So proven that he can be, a down-low threat during the power play, which you can't say a whole lot. You can't say that about a whole lot of defensemen. Mm-hmm. Between him and hopefully when Tyson Barrie resigns soon, we'll see some more Nick Holden. So
yeah,
good for him. Congratulations. For him. You earned that money for sure.
Good job. Trade bait. I will admit this about Nick Holden. I think that some of my complaints about him, that he needed the extra time, the extra second to set things up, that yeah, led to turnovers, that led to poor play, that led to blind passes to nowhere, things like that, got better. Got a lot better as the season went on. And
showed some confidence.
Yep.
And you know, what's cool about him is that he can make up for some of the defensive, maybe, I guess, downfalls with some offense as well. Whereas you have like Corey Saric, if he bites it, most likely he's not going to make anything happen on the offensive end. He won't even get that chance because you have more skilled guys.
Yeah. I mean, if the complaint has been that the Avalanche need to improve their defense, and then the complaint was, oh, they didn't do anything to improve their defense, I'm more concerned about Nick Holden's defense than the 10 goals that he produced. I think it's great that they got 10 goals. Wonderful. You know, never sneeze at a goal, but you know, the defense is going to be a little more important, especially on a team that has been lacking it. And remember what we said when the Avs were eliminated from the first round. Why not us? Well,
there was one.
Yeah. And but I will say that his play got better. And I think that's I look forward to seeing it get even better.
Hopefully he'll continue to get better.
Freaking better, or else he's out of here. I will trade him.
You tell him.
I will trade him.
That's it. He's been traded.
I'll walk into the office and just be like, hey, you're out.
The one big complaint. The one big complaint by everybody that breaks down the draft and not really the draft, but more about free agency, was they said the Avalanche did well, but they didn't address their primary concern, which was defense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You guys know James and I, we need to see things in action before we can really break things down, but hopefully Stewart brings something that maybe a Saric or a Benoit mm-hmm. couldn't.
Yep.
And that fact makes them a little bit better.
They're already talking about putting Stewart and Johnson together.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if, well, obviously that's, that has a lot. There's plenty of time for that and to test that out.
Sure.
But Haida played really well this season with Johnson. And so the question is, will he be able to play that well with somebody else? Yeah. But that's just moving parts. And
we'll see what the pairings are.
Yeah.
Those always change as well. So a little bit later in the day, the Avalanche sign veteran Jerome Iginla to a 3-year deal. This was on his 37th birthday.
By the way, I did not see this coming. Not at all. I thought there was no chance.
I guess I had heard some of the rumors, so it didn't really shock me. But it's hard not to like the numbers. It's hard not to like his production. As a 36-year-old last year, he had 30 goals and 31 assists in Boston. Mm-hmm. He's 37 years old. Like I said, he turned 37 on July 1st. He signed on his birthday. 1,167 career points, which is 50th on the all-time list, and 560 goals, which is 24th all-time. Big physical right-handed winger that the Avalanche have missed since, I think, Chris Stewart, which was a really good breakdown that I had heard. I'd sent out a Twitter poll yesterday just to kind of see what people are thinking. How many goals will Jerome Iginla score this upcoming season? Will it be less than 25 or 25 plus? And it seems like most of the fans think he's going to score 25 plus. Mm-hmm. He had 30 last year. Hopefully he can add on to it this year. I think he's a great addition, a great veteran addition to the team. A 3-year deal for a 37-year-old, you never know. But heck, Teemu Selanne just retired and he was 44.
Yeah.
So you didn't see it coming, but what are you thinking now that it's happened?
I'm good with it. I think it's going to be fun. I mean, as long as he fits in personality wise, his play is going to be great. I can't, they have enough people. They have enough quality talent to make him a second line guy.
Yep.
And they have enough quality talent actually to make him a third line if things are not going so great for him at to start out with.
Yeah.
But I have no problem with this. I think it's a great move.
He'll help the power play. He's got that one-timer. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch him play. Seemed like he was excited as well. It's somebody Joe Sakic knows very well from their days together on Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, hopefully the Avalanche can make some big things happen. So,
and the reason he chose the Avalanche was because he liked where the Avalanche were going.
Yeah.
And that says a lot.
That's nice.
You know, here's a guy who just did one-year stints with two different teams to chase a cup, and he signs 3 years with the Avalanche because he thinks that this is where the things can happen. That says a lot.
That does say a lot.
A veteran guy like that, that people like, that's a classy player, and he says things like that about this team. I'm going to listen to that.
That's what I really liked about this season, is that I think the performance spoke for itself, rather than Joe Sakic trying to, and maybe Patrick Waugh trying to sell what might be in the future. Mm-hmm. It made it happen a little bit closer, so they'd make this a place where people actually want to come play. That's moving forward pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of moving forward, which might be moving backward, we're still missing a couple guys, and one of those big names is Ryan O'Reilly.
Hi, everybody. James Graylian here. We recorded this episode on July 22nd, and on July 23rd, Ryan O'Reilly signed a 2-year, $6 million per year on average deal with the Avalanche. So a lot of the stuff that we were talking about with Ryan O'Reilly is now irrelevant. But we had some other stuff in there, too, that was kind of interesting, and we decided to leave it in. So if you really don't want to hear us talking about Ryan O'Reilly because it doesn't matter anymore, you can skip ahead to about 53 minutes into the podcast. If you'd like our take, plus obviously some other stuff, just keep right on listening. All right. Thanks. Back to the podcast.
Speaking of moving forward, which might be moving backward, we're still missing a couple guys, and one of those big names is Ryan O'Reilly. Restricted free agent. He's asking for $6.75 million, and he selected a 1-year term rather than a 2-year term, which is kind of how arbitration works. That would be, I guess, just from looking at numbers, especially from last year, Kane and Taves money as of what they were getting paid last year, and they have two cups. Although their deals were signed maybe before, I haven't done the homework on that. I was just doing my homework as far as what last year looked like. It's ugly. This is an ugly situation. It's a business situation. This isn't the first time it's happened with O'Reilly. I think when he decided to sit out, when he and his agent decided to hold out, which nobody ever does in the NHL.
Yeah.
There was that. And then also the Avalanche have been paying Ryan O'Reilly on basically the Calgary Flame numbers that they threw at the Avalanche, which might have been a little on the high end. But heck, his numbers go up, which means he deserves some kind of a raise according to, you know, just how the business works. And here we are. I don't know whether he's going to be back. The Avalanche, we never talked about Paul Stastny and why or why not he should have been moved at the trade deadline just so they could get something back from it. I think it would have been silly for the Avalanche to move him at that point. But I wonder if they're thinking, let's get him signed and try and get something back for him before we lose yet another player for nothing on the free agent market.
I think this is one of those situations where nothing is not necessarily a bad thing. I know it sounds dumb. Yeah. It sounds really dumb. Well, trade him while you can, get some value for him, blah, blah, blah. You're going to get around $6 million in cap space that you're going to clear up for, guess who? Nathan MacKinnon.
True.
You know what? That's a bonus right there.
Yeah.
Dude is going... Ryan O'Reilly is not going to be back either after this contract or the next contract, whatever. I can't remember if one-year deal... If he selects a one-year deal, then he gets UFA status.
I don't know
status,
if he's still restricted after that. I can't remember either.
And I want to talk about the restricted free agency in just a moment. Cool. But if you get money for Nathan MacKinnon and you can hold on to him, would you rather hold on to MacKinnon in a year or two, or would you rather hang on to O'Reilly?
I guess we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. And I think there's no question that MacKinnon is going to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
And if you have this many first round picks that are this high and you have to cast somebody off, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
Or do you want to cast off? Let's do a quick in the room poll.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
Who else is ready? Oh, it's just me.
Just you and I.
Okay.
Duchesne,
mm-hmm.
Landeskog,
mm-hmm.
O'Reilly, mm-hmm. MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. Which three would you want to keep?
Yeah. I think O'Reilly is your odd man out.
Yeah. And that's
as good as he is too. I like O'Reilly. Yeah.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if he's getting bad / good career advice, or if this is his choice, or what it is.
There's way more to the story that we'll never find out about.
Yeah.
And that's what frustrates people. Like this is kind of an ugly situation.
I guess the question is, who's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, are the Avs wrong, or is O'Reilly wrong?
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure, because I don't know which aspect they're going for. Do they think that they want the immediate right now success, or do they want a longer term success and they're looking 3 or 4 years ahead, cap hits then, players available then, things like that?
I'm sure they are. We have a couple situations, at least some questions as well from the hashtag AskHP in our Facebook mm-hmm. as well, which we'll be kind of addressing a little bit more into this. But it's a really interesting situation in the fact that you know, the Avalanche are saying all the right things. The Avalanche are saying, oh, we feel good about this. I mean, but what are the Avalanche supposed to say when people ask them questions about Ryan O'Reilly? What's Joe Sakic gonna say? Like, guys, seriously, it's not looking good. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that things aren't looking good.
We're going into arbitration and we're going to basically put our cards on the table with the fans. Now
they're not going to do that. So everybody's saying the right thing. We'll never know the truth. We don't know. You know, Tyson Barry has the same agent, and Tyson Barry as a restricted free agent hasn't been signed by the Avalanche yet either. So I don't know. It's really interesting. It's frustrating as a mm-hmm. fan to kind of go through this. There's some people really throwing Ryan O'Reilly under the bus. But Ryan O'Reilly wants to get paid what he thinks is he's worth. And, mm-hmm. and if the numbers speak for it, the numbers speak for it. I mean, what are you going to do?
If he got a catastrophic failure, you know, injury, you know, and could not play hockey anymore, this could be his last contract. Of course, he's going to try and go for as much as he possibly can.
And I think all of us would try and do the same mm-hmm. thing. It's easy from our perspective to say, oh, take a little less, stay with a good future, and you can win some more cups. Like cups are great, and that's what everybody plays for, but cups don't necessarily make you money.
Yeah. You can't spend cups at King Supers.
You could try.
You could try, but it isn't going to happen.
I will trade you this cup for some sunflower seeds and some cantaloupe.
What kind of sunflower seeds?
Spitz dill pickle.
Really? Dill pickle?
Come on, man.
Really?
That's all I do.
Dill pickle?
Really? You don't judge me on my sunflower seed choice.
Yeah, I do. I just did, actually. That was a prime example of me doing it. I actually just did it.
You did pretty well.
Thank you.
I'm still going to eat them, though.
Okay. You do what you have to do, loser.
Shut your face.
I mean, 6.75 is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
But at the same time, if, like, let's say you look at the numbers and you go, okay, well, who else is in this range and where does he fit and blah, blah, blah. Then the question isn't what's his value. The question is what's his value to this team that he is essentially that he can't necessarily quit. And this is the thing I was going to say about restricted free agency, is that you don't get the choices that, let's say, you and I do. And we all know this, you know, you draft a guy, you get his rights for a very long time, sometimes the prime of his career, and then eventually he gets to make his own choices. If you and I get all butthurt at work, we can quit. We can go somewhere else. Hey, guess what? We've done it. You know?
It's happened.
I've done it.
It's happened before.
Oh, it's happening again in a bit.
Watch this.
Yeah, watch this. hope y'all are ready for some stuff in about a month and a half. That's right. We'll get to that later at the end of the show. But anyways, the point being
that
the dude doesn't get the choices that you and I do and has only so many tools that he can use in his toolbox. Do I think that he's worth $6.75 million a year? Within the AV structure, no. Absolutely not. I think that kind of money is going to put a Stastny-sized target on your back. Now, in another place where you don't have three other guys that are ahead of you on the boy, I would never get rid of these people scale. Then he's definitely going to be worth that. You know, he's not going to be worth that in Minnesota right now with the guys with Thomas Vanek there with Parise. He's not going to be worth that there. Oh, you know where he might be worth that? Vancouver, where they just lost Kessler, where they have a big hole. That's about a $6.75 million player who just won a Lady Big and was a top scorer on a team.
Calgary.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the tools other than this. So I can, while I'm frustrated with the situation also, I feel like there is a business element that is on his side that is often forgotten because the feeling is so much players are property. And people think, and people talk about them that way. You know, they're the property of the Avalanche.
Absolutely.
They're the property of this team. The dude only has so. I think that he is overvaluing himself. And overvaluing his, you know, when he came back to the Avs after holding out, they didn't suddenly start riding unicorns and punching llamas. They were still not a good team.
Did they? I didn't see that happening.
They did.
Have they ever done that?
What, punch llamas
and ride unicorns?
Wait, did they punch unicorns and ride llamas or punch? They weren't doing either one.
Dang it.
I know.
I kind of want to see that. Maybe next year.
Stick around.
Okay.
What are you doing at 2 o'clock? I'll show you. Okay.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes.
So that didn't necessarily help his value at that point and didn't necessarily justify the holdout. I think he's asking too much from this team, but that might be the point.
Yep.
That he can go ask more from someone else. That's, he got the offer sheet. He got exactly what the one tool he could do to get away from the Avalanche and from their structure and bridge contracts and things like that.
One way or another, I hope the team's okay.
I think the team's going to be fine, with him, without him. I think they're going to be better without him now at this, because of all of this, because of the drama,
Sure.
It's just,
maybe they've learned a lesson. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. It's really the first time that Joe Sakic had to go through this kind of thing as a manager,
yeah.
And who's he got really advising him? But Greg Sherman.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you want some more cream in your coffee?
Would you like, hey, you want to talk about that O'Reilly contract? Okay. We're not talking contracts. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm not supposed to talk to you about hockey.
Sorry. They're like, you get in your hole. Okay. Get in your hole. Stop talking. You're talking. I don't want you to talk.
Should we answer a couple of the questions from the ask?
We're going to go to hashtag ask AHA.
Oh my God.
Hashtag A ask HH. Yeah.
Okay. This is right there is proof that there isn't a lot of editing that goes on in the middle of the show.
Perfect.
We just put it right there.
Don't laugh at me. It hurts my feelings.
You have a feeling?
Ask AHP.
Dude, I got called an old man in my hockey game the other night.
You weren't ready for that. I don't think I'd be ready for that.
No, I wasn't ready for it because
Was this in your over 40 league?
No,
okay,
it was
good,
not.
Good.
Yeah, because I am actually one of the youngest in the.
Hey, a youngster!
I turned 42 today, so
right.
I'm pretty old. I'm pretty young for that at least.
That's right,
no,
folks.
For the other one,
don't tell me that James Tape Leg Grayling does not care about the Avalanche and their fans and this podcast. We're here on his birthday. Recording a podcast.
What else am I going to do on my birthday?
I don't know.
I'm going to Nine Inch Nails tonight. Other than that.
Act like you had a lot better things to do.
Oh my God. The people are clamoring for my time.
I had to get through the groupies just to get through the door to get up to this place.
Nobody believes it.
Matt Powell on the Twitters. Do you think all the Ryan O'Reilly drama is degrading his trade value in the future?
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't see how it can be helping.
Okay. I mean, as an example for why I would absolutely say yes, let's look at, what was it, a year ago, 2 years ago, when Ilya Kovalchuk left the NHL, went to the KHL, and all of a sudden everybody was soured on Russian players and did not want to get Russian players for that reason. People look at past performance. People will look at generalities and say, oh, does this person, should this person? Yeah. Who was the kid that was, I can't remember the name of the kid who was drafted by the New York Islanders this year. And so many teams took a pass on him, even though he had a ton of skill, because of possible behavioral issues, because of their interviews with him. They just didn't like what he was bringing personality wise.
Yeah.
And Gar Snow took a flyer on him.
Yeah.
And when he was asked about it, hey, what do you think about this? And Gar Snow said, pretty much looked at the cameras and said, I don't care. Everybody S'd on me also.
They're like, oh yeah, good point.
And he just kind of smiled for a moment, and Darren Dreger's like, okay, we're going to go back over here. And then you saw the smile fade as he realized he was on national television. Like,
whoops. and Matt.
So yes,
I don't think it can be helping, but the thing is somebody will pay him.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of a league where with his kind of skills, with his kind of resume, with his kind of numbers, somebody will pay him.
Yeah.
Mike Klinsmann had an interesting, going right back at it. Ryan O'Reilly's character has been in question during these negotiations. Is it fair? How would we react from his position? I think when it comes to things like this, people are just trying to make sense out of the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And when you run out of things, you talk about character, you talk about his agent, you talk about this and that and this. Who knows how these negotiations have gone? Mm. Who knows whether they were soured long ago and he's just out there doing his best to get as much money from someone else, which is his right as well. Nothing's fair when it comes to this business model. I mean, it's this is just how it is. Mm-hmm. And people are going to try and make sense. They're either going to blame him or they're going to blame the Avalanche. I would think, just because it's just easier, that it's a little bit of both,
mm-hmm.
and they just make it work or they don't make it work. And that's how things function now.
Yeah. You're absolutely, I mean, the value of a player is the value at the moment. Plus the reason that they get this high of salaries also is because of the fact that there's very few jobs in this market.
Yeah.
As soon as you step down one level, you get paid quite a bit less.
Yep.
And because there are so many people that spend their entire lives working to get to this level. And that's why the money is so high. Is it fair that it's that high? Is it fair that this is that Major League Baseball has has an exemption for monopolies, or most sports franchises, or sports leagues do? Is it fair that the Red Wings are going to get a gigantic brand new stadium with $300 million pitched in by public money, and yet just today the firefighters and police had to basically agree to a cut in their I think it's a freeze in their pensions because of bankruptcy for the city. Is that fair? Fair is kind of a questionable thing in regards to this. I mean, I'm sorry, Mike, I don't mean to like be all, hey, I'm going to get all high and mighty for a moment, but when the Red Wing, when the Pizza King of Detroit is taking a ton of money from the city to build a new flaming stadium, I'm not impressed. Anyways, but in this, is it fair? We don't know enough to say that the reaction is right or wrong. But I think that if you flip what we're looking at, the truth is the fans really care and really want O'Reilly around. And that's more of what it's going for. But we don't know if it's exactly O'Reilly. We don't know if it's his agent that's advising him in this way. We don't know if the Avs are playing hardball. We don't know,
We'll never know. There's things we shouldn't know. There's, the team's not going to come out when and if he leaves.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, here's what really happened. Check this out.
No, totally.
They shouldn't have to.
There's absolutely a... Within the sports business, and if you don't believe me, go read the last five pages of Deadspin and try and take a shower to wash that off of you. There is a certain amount of we don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
We just know it tastes, it's delicious.
Yeah. It sucks that we paid that much money to, to see these things. I mean, we all know how much hockey tickets cost. But at the same time, I don't necessarily always want to be on the inside of all of it.
Yeah.
Even Adrian Dater, in a few of his recent columns, was kind of talking about the exasperation that he's had.
Mm-hmm. That the Avs told him that this wasn't cool, that he was saying this, this, and this.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that he is not having a grand old time with all of this, you know, and he's the one guy that really has the inside scoop, you know?
It's not fair to anybody, really.
Yeah. I mean, fair. Is it fair to O'Reilly? In a way, yes, because he can say to his agent, I don't, you know, I think we need to end this.
I'm done with that. You
know,
yeah.
let's make a 2-year deal and then let's move on from these people.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Let's, but so is it fair to O'Reilly? Yes and no.
Yeah.
That's
Ross Berger on the Twitters. If number 90 really wanted to be here over squeezing, over squeezing every last dollar out of the Avs, he'd be signed. Isn't Evander Kane trade viable? I think this, it's one of the questions on Facebook as well. If the Avalanche do trade Ryan O'Reilly, what do they get for him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be an interesting thing as well. I don't even know if that's the plan, so we don't want to speculate too much. But speaking of people whose characters have been, I guess, questioned over time, Evander Kane is one of those players.
Mm-hmm.
Is that somebody that you want? Would you rather have nothing in the cap space, or would you rather have an Evander Kane who, I guess, from what everybody says, is kind of tough to deal with on the ice, off the ice, whatever.
Let's just put it this way. Let's take the names away from it. Do you want to trade a guy who doesn't want to be on a team for a guy who doesn't want to be on a team? You know?
Yeah.
If I were, you know, maybe again, you know, who would I rather have? Evander Kane or O'Reilly? I'd rather have O'Reilly.
Yep.
But the viability, I don't like an Evander Kane trade. I just don't. Yep. And
I guess teams have to ask themselves this all the time when they're thinking about a trade. Do we want something that will come back that we'll have to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want nothing because we have people that can fill that hole or something bigger and better to look for, or maybe even just less of a distraction?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It's a complicated thing. Trades aren't really that easy. I know people want return for value, but that's not as easy as it sounds.
Either. No, I mean, it's very rare that you get a dance partner that where it just works out perfectly for everyone. Take a look at the Kessler trade. He had 3 teams on his list,
right,
and the no trade clause is what basically limited them to that. Yeah. And it basically took away the value of what they could get out of that trade for the Canucks. I'll tell you what I want.
Want a no trade clause?
No.
Okay.
You can trade. You going to trade me to the Jets Hockey Podcast? We've met those guys.
We have. We've been on their show before. Yeah. If that's what you want,
the Anthrax Jones Podcast.
Jerk.
Tons of swearing. He doesn't shy away from topics.
No, he does not.
He doesn't shy away from learning.
Anthrax Jones doesn't shy away from anything.
I will tell you what I would want if there's going to be an O'Reilly trade, because I want the money. I want to see the money. Okay.
Show me the money.
I want to see the money back for the Avs in their kitty so that they can pay Nathan MacKinnon.
Okay.
So that after this next season, when Brad Stewart is either re-signed or cut free and Briere is re-signed or cut free, that they can do something with it.
Yeah.
What I want for O'Reilly is an Eric Lindros type trade. I want to see other players that are not necessarily the perfect NHL fit, you know. Not, I don't want an O'Reilly back necessarily,
right?
Because there is the depth.
You won't get one anyway.
Well, and, you know, now that I mean, with Stastny gone, okay, bummer. But the Briere signing helps make up for that,
right?
With O'Reilly gone, Jerome Iginla helps make up for that. Okay, give me players that the minor leagues can be stocked at in.
Well, and that was,
they don't have to sit there with, you know, only 20 guys available when they should have 22, you know, or, you know, like they didn't have enough people that they could recall. They don't have enough quality down in Lake Erie. Lake Erie has only made the playoffs once,
right,
in their existence. They need minor league help. They need depth. Give me a bunch of depth players that can be plugged into Lake Erie that are available to come up, that a few of them maybe have some prospects available, and get rid of him, of O'Reilly, and get the money back.
Speaking of, credit to the Avalanche. On July 1st, they addressed some of that. And it's some of the guys we definitely won't talk about in this show, but they did address some of the issues they had, I guess, down in Lake Erie. Not glaring issues that will show at the Avalanche's level, but the lack of depth that will allow them to, okay, someone's hurt, we'll bring somebody else up with some experience.
How many injuries got uncovered?
Solid player. I mean, that's the thing. So credit to the Avalanche for addressing that as well, because some of the news that came out during July 1st, people are like, who? Bruno Gervais, who? You know, and there was a couple of those signings, and we're not going to talk about them now. We have, you know, as the roster begins to take shape, we can talk about that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But they made a couple moves that people gave them credit for, and absolutely essential. The original team fans said, "You're going to like that guy. You're going to like the depth he brings. He looked good when mm-hmm. he came up last year." And the Avalanche were kind of lacking that as well.
So absolutely,
they're building the organization, not just the big club, and big organizations that can add some depth and things like that. They're gonna win more often than not.
Yeah.
So credit to the Avalanche.
How many times was there an injury and people said, "Oh, great, Ryan Stowe is up."
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's absolutely essential. So I would rather not see an Evander Kane come back. I would rather see the Eric Lindros style. Give me a bunch of guys that I can plug holes with, and then a few of them might work out, and let's go to town with
us. Save some money as well.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Rolf H for asking us what we think about the new additions to the team. So thank you, and Greg.
Yeah, that
Greg,
kinda, yeah.
Absolutely. Greg Dreschmeyer, why can't Avs fans on Twitter just be happy? I'm just excited for the season. AHP forever. Greg, we love you and amen.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, there was a great, Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who he was talking about, but he said, "And I could not be happier. And as ever, Twitter could not be happy."
Greg, as much as we'd like it to be, and as much as we try and build our own, audience around us, Twitter's never going to be happy. So I'd love to say different, but it's just not going to happen.
I think it was Heather Williams on Twitter the other day who said, we were chit-chatting a little bit, and she said something about, you know, I said something about the armchair GMs and the Twitter, right. You know, is always part of that. She said, "Well, I'm kind of newer to Twitter, so yeah, around here, the armchair GMs, I'm a little new to it." And I said, "You know what? Here's who you pay attention to. Anybody who says, 'Oh, hey, I got that one wrong.'" Mm-hmm. You know, because eventually we will. Everybody will.
That's right.
You know, and that's okay. But if you're going to, they can't be, Twitter is always about being mad in the moment and never going back to it. It's so immediate. And I remember the angry things that people say much longer than they remember it. And I don't remember the angry things I said. That's just the way it goes.
I agree. I hear you.
So yeah, no, don't worry. You know what? If you love the team and you want to spread the happiness, spread the freaking happiness. Don't worry about.
Go for it. It's good on Twitter too.
Twitter can't be happy, but you know,
you can try. I like trying.
Just goes with the medium.
Joel Crabb on Facebook was asking us about kind of what we just talked about. So
face space.
Yeah. Hello to Joel.
Hi, Joel.
And go get some jerseys. Karen Burkhardt on Facebook, update on Barry. I don't think there has been an update. No offers been made as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
He is restricted. So, any, you know, movement is going to have to be matched by the Avalanche if somebody offers him some money. I don't know. That's a developing story, and maybe what happens with Ryan O'Reilly has an effect on that since they have the same agent. Maybe not. Who knows? But mm-hmm. that's kind of complicated.
Second half of that question is, you know, since Barry and O'Reilly's agent is such a pain to deal with, if the Avs might not want to deal with that agency anymore, I would say no. They still will, because that's just the business. Agents, the weird part about the agents is that they hold all the cards. They can play a team against another team. They can play these games because they have that ability legally. If clubs were to say, to go to each other and say, "Hey, don't pay this guy any more than this. Jesus Christ." You know what would happen? That would be collusion, and that's illegal. So there's, and even for a sports league, that would be illegal.
That's right.
So the agents kind of hold all of the cards. And I don't see that the agency is not going to get, won't be shut out. But I would definitely say that the bad blood would translate. I don't know enough about this agent, and it's possible that this agent is actually really well respected and all of these things, and that the agency is well loved. Who knows? I really don't know anything about the guy. So that is really hard to say, but I would say that no, the business would probably just carry on as usual, and they do the best they can.
I think it happens a lot. I just think this has been a little more public just because of who Ryan O'Reilly is and what he's done.
And I can't imagine that the NHLPA would be very happy if the, you know, if a club said, "Well, we won't deal with you because of your agent," that would not go over at all.
No, that would get even uglier, and it's ugly enough as it is. Mm-hmm. Jazz Bills on Facebook. How about whether the guys are going to have the element of surprise that they had last year when they came from, when they went from dogs to heroes? Will Dutchie and McKinnon be given the room to do their magic?
No. No.
They're not going to be given any room, but they'll create some room. And, yeah. And but now it's better, you know, it's better known. And teams have had an offseason to prepare for what the Avalanche are bringing at them. It's going to be a little bit tougher, but we're going to see how good these guys are. And I'm expecting big things still.
Absolutely. Hopefully let's see how Duchesne's oblique is, because I'm sure that he was playing a little hurt, you know, when he came back.
And his knee too, yeah. He was having a hard time with that.
So let's see how the Duchesne pivot is. If the pivot's still there, he'll make some room.
Yep.
And, you know, MacKinnon, he creates room. I was there when he first came to the Avs, one of the things, like about 4 or 5 games in, I was like, dude, quit playing with the puck so much. You're going to lose this thing. And I'm so wrong about that.
Never did.
He never did. And, you know, if you're that fast with the puck, you know, which way are you going to go next? Nobody knows. He's going to create room, and his speed is going to only get better.
They both are.
For a few more years. Absolutely. So I would say, I think that's going to be fine. No, the Avs are not going to be a surprise. And I think that actually has more to do with Patrick Roy than anything else.
Yeah, the Avalanche are going to.
He was the big question mark.
The cool thing about the Avalanche is they've got speed and some size up front that they're going to be able to take advantage of. And that's tough to deal with when you've got guys that can move. You've got guys like Landeskog and Iginla who will pound you physically, mm-hmm. and like a McGinn and McLeod and guys like that. But you also have guys like a Duchesne and MacKinnon that will skate right by you. So there's that.
Yeah.
Jason Pinto, because I'm a transplant and don't see the tangibles, billboard signage, et cetera, around Colorado, compare the marketing campaigns under the new regime to the old. Obviously, the injection of Sakic, Waugh, and Josh have brought a whole new perspective, but it seems from the Twitter account to the latest Avs All Over campaign and the in-arena upgrades, it seems like Kroenke Sports is really trying to sell an overall product and not just fill seats for a crappy team. Thanks, guys. Can't wait to hear the show.
Let me just address the last thing first. I can't wait to hear the show either.
I can't either. This is going to be unbelievable. I
wish those guys would hurry up and do their thing. Oh, that's us.
Oh, yeah. Here they go.
I think it's a lot better.
They're trying.
I mean, there were more bill. I mean, we're in the off season right now. It's all about ticket renewals. I will tell you this. I got a phone call from the Avalanche the other day asking about buying tickets for next season. I think that may have happened once before, maybe. I'm not going to be because, you know, of reasons, but, and we'll talk about those a little later at the very end of the show. I think it's a lot better, you know, the Twitter account got much more interactive.
It did.
We had the whole thing where, the Twitter account got, you know, was bad. Then it got a little better. And they regressed, and right now it's very interactive. It's very fan friendly.
It's as good as it's been. They have made that mm-hmm. they've made it a priority, and I think they've done well. The Avs All Over thing has really taken off. It's all over the place. Sorry,
that was really good.
I know
the hard part with the TV ads is that basically you've got a group that owns their own channel. That owns their own billboard, and they're going to want to advertise on that.
Which is the thing to do in pro sports now. If you're going to own a team, own everything about the team, including your own channel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I do, at least when I buy my pro sports teams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No. Who do you own again?
The Norfolk Schnitzels.
Colorado Wieners.
The Wiener Schnitzels.
The Wieners.
The Wiener Schnitzels. Yes.
That's the what's the mascot's name?
Schnitz.
Hot the dog.
Oh.
Come on, dude.
Mine was better than yours.
No, it wasn't. I am a marketing genius.
In your own mind.
I'd
buy that.
Okay, quick Twitter poll. Hashtag tape leg marketing rules. Who's a better marketer, James or Jay?
All right.
And I'm only going to influence you guys a lot by saying you better vote.
No one's
going to
interact with that, which shows how good you are at all this stuff.
Prove him wrong.
What else?
Prove him wrong.
Mary Callie Agnew. Who's going to get Paul Stastny's A?
Oh, Duchesne.
You think so?
Oh, he's the first guy that they go to on the television, for the television ads.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not for the ads, for the interviews after the game. He's absolutely the guy.
That's going to look good.
It's going to look really good. You're going to get one. You'll get a couple of Duchesne A's.
Speaking of Migre summer sale until, I believe, September 1st. Go to their mm-hmm. site and check it out. 40% off one jersey that's more than 2 years old, or buy one, get one for lesser value. So. Those of you looking for a game worn jersey,
mm-hmm.
go get. Did you pick up what you needed to yet?
No, I'm gonna probably do it later today or tomorrow.
Yeah, there's still time.
Yeah.
So go check that out for those of you. But yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking of buying some game issued and getting them stripped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a plan yet, but Forsberg, Sakic, Duchesne.
Yeah, you don't have a plan.
There's always a plan. There's always more jerseys. Lines and D pairings. I appreciate the question, but I try not to speculate over all that. I mean, they're going to be all right. We can only control so much.
Yeah, the thing is that there's a lot of there's a lot of time at. I would not be surprised to see some of what was happened before hold up, but there's too many new guys and there's too much change.
There's still some movement to happen. There's still some movement to happen as well before the season starts. I mean, once we see preseason, we can only address that once we see what's out there.
Yeah.
But I try not to worry too much about who's on whose line and what defensive pairing is going to work best. I leave that to the pros and just kind of, address it from there.
Yeah. A little premature, but that's okay.
Yeah. Scott Yates asking about the jersey episode. The cool thing about not having done the jersey episode yet,
we
can actually talk about hockey, but
yeah.
It was one of those filler things that we talked about that we never got to. So Scott, you didn't miss it. But it was just one of those things.
It's a hard thing also, cause it's like the show that we do is very time dependent. And obviously, if internet marketing, because I am such an internet marketing genius,
obviously,
as I showed, is all about making things. A lot of times with podcasts, you want evergreen content so people come back and they can download it anytime. But a lot of what we do is not that way. Yeah. This last episode is really worth listening to. But the one before that, not so much, and they, and our stuff gets stale because of the progression of time.
That's just how it works.
Event. So it's kind of weird to do, to get that. And also when we get together, especially in season, it's, we got a lot to talk about anyway. So I think that eventually we're going to get to it.
Absolutely.
But it's just been a little busy,
There's things to talk about, which is great. We don't have to create
a mid season in a Sacco era. If Sacco were still around, I'd be like, well,
hey guys, you watched
just lost 8 of 10 games. So,
let's talk jerseys.
Yeah.
Let's talk a real win here. We haven't forgotten about it, but we have it on the back burner. Yeah. How's that? And then Daniel Coakwell. Who would win in a fight, Howler or Bernie? You didn't remember Howler.
I didn't remember that was his name. I remember that there was like some.
He had one move. It was just like this, and he was hoping the crowd would howl with him, and that was it.
That was really good for an audio podcast. It was like, what again? Oh, God.
I was showing you.
Howler would put his hands to his mouth like he was shouting something.
Oh, you're good at this. Thank you. Maybe you are internet marketing or good at charades. Or reverse charades or something. I'm going with Bernie here because he's got some skills.
God, I hate to go with Bernie. This is like
with anything.
This is like the evil of two lessers. I mean, it's not. Spay and neuter your pets, people. Come on.
That's it. That's all. That's who would win. The vets.
Yeah. I think Bernie would win.
Simply for the fact of
that he has like, I think that if either of them. Like if I were to look at them in like the Street Fighter video game kind of way, like what's their special attack move? Obviously with Howler, it's shouting an ice blast, right? Cause he's Howler.
Is that what it was? It was an ice blast. I missed that part.
That's what I'm saying. It would be.
I know.
Okay.
Ooh, good marketing.
Thank you. And what would Bernie be?
He would pee on your leg.
Well, but he would probably, because he's a St. Bernard, he's got that little thing of booze under his thing. He'd probably have some like big cask attack, where like the cask just gets huge and like crushes you. And I think that he could probably, and because he's used to cold weather, being a dog that, you often see rescuing people in the Alps, rescuing them from their sobriety, obviously, because he has the thing of booze, that he would probably be able to stand the shouting ice attack better than Howler would be able to survive it. And that is, I would say for those reasons alone, right there, that Bernie is,
Raise your hand if you just said out loud, I want these 2 minutes of my life back from this podcast.
I bring a unique value.
That's right. Thank you, Daniel. And
You'll never write another question.
No, Daniel,
again.
Feel free. That was a nice break.
You can find me on Twitter at Tape. Like, you can ask whatever you want if you want those kinds of answers.
Make sure you tag me too. I want to see these things. Rafe Bass, real quick. Do you think we will ever get a cool third jersey? Maybe Rocky's throwback. It would be great if they added something to recognize the great history of Colorado hockey. I'd be interested to see it if they come up with something. Yeah. I think it's time for a change in the design. I haven't met many people that really like the design at all. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the aesthetics of jerseys, which I follow a little bit as well, the Avalanche logo and the Avalanche, I guess, design of the jerseys is always near the bottom. So I'd be interested in a straight over, you know, redesign of everything anyway, just to see what happens. But I know that's more easily said than done.
Some of the teams are starting to get away from the piping that was on a lot of these jerseys, which nobody ever really liked at all, including myself. I would like to see something a little more, you know, a little better for the Avalanche, you know, something a little bit simpler. And I love the old burgundy third.
Everybody loved the old burgundy.
I liked it a lot better than the blueberry. And as far as the Colorado Rockies one, I think that'd be kind of cool in the, I like what the, Vancouver Canucks did with their kind of throwback stuff. At the same time, remember that the Colorado Rockies became the New Jersey Devils and the Devils suck. So thank you.
Wow. Good marketing. Mm. All right.
Listen, I'm making it clear as to what happened. Now, you were kind of pointing to your shoulders there. I'm assuming that you mean that that would be great if the Colorado Rockies logo were on the shoulder of, like, maybe a throwback jersey. That'd be kind of cool.
Again, I don't know how simple that is. Mm-hmm. Who owns what you can put on there, what the NHL will be acceptable.
Right.
Who knows? I'm sure it's way more complicated than it should be or is.
Yeah.
But I think that would be cool, too. That logo is a great-looking logo.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe having that on a shoulder or something somewhere.
Yeah.
Or maybe on the inside of the neck or something like that where they can do something, which a lot of teams are doing now. They're putting things on the inside of sleeves or in the back of the neck or the inside of the back of the neck where people can see it if they want to. So
there's a lot of teams that will, if you move a franchise, sell a franchise, especially sell a franchise, sell a franchise with a move, the people who previously owned the franchise will hold on to the branding and the marketing rights and all of that.
Yeah.
So they have to change. Hence, that's why there's a new team in Macon, Georgia, and they are not the Macon Whoopie.
Macon Bacon?
I forget what they are now. You would think that I would have the name of the team right on the tip of my tongue.
You were into marketing at all, you would. But instead, you have to go to the Google and you have to do it.
Why would you do that to me? That's just mean.
Well, I built you up a couple times to keep you honest. Macon Bacon. That's who it is.
It is not. No way.
Come on.
I wish it was. It is the Macon Mayhem. It was at one point. It was the Macon Tracks. Yeah, that's even more. Whoopie is the best.
Macon Whoopie would be good.
It would be. It was. It was really the Macon Whoopie.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
What was
like
their logo? Or do I even?
It was like
know
a plant, a family of some sort. It was like a. Let's see if I can.
It's a family show.
No, it's well, the Whoopie. It had a bird and a bee.
Did it really?
Yeah, and with the the bird is a whooping crane. Here, I'll show you. I'm gonna hold up my laptop to Jay, and he can see that.
Okay.
And then there was another one. There was, because there was a CHL team, and then there was an ECHL, and the ECHL. No, it's the same logo. But yeah, there were the Macon Whoopie.
All right.
You'll see those jerseys around every so often, and you'll if you see somebody with a Macon Whoopie jersey, you say hi to that person.
You give them props. That's a quality person.
Macon, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Got that. We got that.
Hockey in the South.
Just want to thank all of you for your hashtag AskAHP questions.
I'd just like to apologize to all of you for my rants. Oh, my goodness.
Where it's all good. We've got the whole offseason. We've got to fill your offseason with amazing goodness. So
birthday rant, you know?
Yes, you are free to do that. Yeah. So thank you for your AskAHP questions on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for those of you on Facebook that gave us some things to talk about as well. Some people are like, why did they talk about some of that? But we got to fill it up, you know? That's about it. I think we're good until the beginning of, until we have enough stuff to talk about again.
Yeah, I mean, we often don't do a training camp one because, you know, often we have lives that don't give us the opportunity to be there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you go, I'm not saying you don't have a life. I'm saying that we have
things. We have things and stuff.
You have little tiny Smurfs running.
I have little things. I have little people that I have to take care of. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife. So Mrs. HP. Oh, before I left, my older one came up. Hey, Daddy, are you going to go do a podcast? I'm like, yeah. How did you know that? By your outfit, you know, because I've got my curse word gear on. So she's getting used to that. And that voice you hear at the very beginning of the show, "Go Avalanche," that's my older daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She loves to do that, and she wants to do a new one, which I'll send to you.
Okay.
We'll incorporate in future shows.
Awesome.
So, That's my older daughter. She's not a huge hockey fan, but when she hears the podcast and she kind of knows what we do here, it's pretty cool. So she knows my podcast uniform, whether it's a jersey or my curse word, my curse word shirt or both.
Awesome.
So, you ready for the spiel?
Oh, no, I'm not.
You're so ready for the spiel.
I'm so not ready for the spiel.
So episode 91 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. We're pretty good here.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming and listening and putting us in your ear hole. Kind of an unexpected show. But we had enough to talk about. So.
A lot of strange stuff. A lot of
it's kind of an there's a lot of unrest right now still, as far as what this team's going to look like.
Yeah. The dissatisfaction of the Ryan O'Reilly situation kind of overshadowing the happiness of getting some free agents that people wanted.
Especially a Ginla. Who doesn't like picking up Hall of Famers that still have some gas left in the tank? You know, you got to like that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Can't say the Avs didn't do anything in the offseason.
They tried, and I think they've done pretty well, and a lot of people giving them credit. Like I said, a lot of people going back to saying they didn't address their largest need, but they did pick up some people, and a lot of people were ranking them the top three or four teams that did very well that picked up some, you know, at least picked up who they needed to or filled the holes that were left by the guys that left.
Yeah.
Brad Malone, by the way, in Tampa now. He signed with the Lightning. I'm not quite sure. He was an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
And he signed with them. But otherwise, all the restricted free agents and some of the older guys. Vander Gulick also left. A couple guys that we saw every once in a while, but good for them getting a chance to play every day on somebody else's big club.
Yeah, there's not a lot of room right now.
No, there's not, and I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. How are you spiel-wise right
Ready.
Now? Let's do this.
You can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. You'll find all the episodes, and there are some people out there who don't use iTunes, but so you can listen to them right off the site. You can plug our feed directly into your feed, whatever feed catcher you want, and hear it. You can also subscribe in iTunes and leave a comment for any of the stuff here. You can find Jay's wonderful shirt that says Curse Word on it. At curseword.net, and there's a link to the gear there. You can call us at 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. Yes, you can. You can also email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. And you can find Jay on the tweeters at Avs Podcast. You can find the Avs Facebook page, Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page, at facebook.com/IAVSHockeyPodcast. I'm on Twitter at TapeLeg. I have a little blog at jerseyandhockeylove.com. And
Rink Podcast?
And also the Rink Podcast. I did a little experiment over the playoffs where I was podcasting daily. Just little short little things. I'm not sure if I'm going to pick that back up. It was a great experiment. Learned a lot. Learned about a lot about what I liked and what I didn't like.
Cool.
And we'll see from there.
Right on then.
Yeah. Just a quick mention that I am leaving Denver.
He's going places.
I'm going places. I'm hitting the road. I'm going to be in Boston, Columbus, Milwaukee, San Antonio. The list goes on. Finally, probably going to get to see a game in Florida because I'll be in Fort Lauderdale, be in Memphis, Louisville, finish out the regular season in Cincinnati.
You're all over the place.
I will be. Des Moines. I may hit in the summer. I'll be in Canada, in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. Nice. So, hopefully, if you guys are anywhere near any of those, let me know, and we'll see if we can make the connection. And then, of course, it begs the question, what happens to the Avs Hockey Podcast? Well, nothing. Avs Hockey Podcast is going to continue as it has. We've done this before, where I've been on the road, and you know, we just kind of put it together. And actually, I'm going to have a little more time this time than I did when I was previously on the road.
Sweet.
I had a strange work schedule that kind of restricted me in those ways. I don't have that this time.
Nice.
So the Avs Hockey Podcast will continue as normal. Same goofiness, same schedule, which is, you know, as soon as we have enough for
enough,
an episode, boom,
right,
we put one out.
That's right.
And so it'll be fun and exciting.
We promise you that we will bring you the best possible show that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And we appreciate all you do for us and all the support, all the listens, all the interaction. It means a lot. And that's why we're going to keep on doing it.
Yep.
Because that's how we do. All right. That's it. James, any last words?
No.
Well, not final words, but just for the show. For this Sergei Fedorov edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
You know, it's been an interesting offseason. I think that if anybody has anything to complain about, it's just the O'Reilly situation, unless something happens with Barry also. you know, even though there was the Stastny addition and, you know, there was some good free agency. And we always hear Avs didn't do anything in free agency. Well, guess what, people?
They did.
Avs did a lot in free agency.
They did. We all hope it works out. Touch the iPad.
Oh, man. I'm going to take that.
He stole the iPad.
Oh, I love this iPad.
Oh, man.
Which iPad is this?
That's
it's like the 8 or something? The Ocho?
No. I don't know. That's the new one.
Okay.
The Air? New one. No, it's not the Air. It's not the Mini. It's bigger than a Mini.
Take that back.
I don't you gave that. Me it back.
I don't want that all stuff.
Right. So, all right, folks. Thanks again. We'll be back in your holes sometime before the season starts. I don't know. When things start to take shape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So we appreciate you listening. And until we talk at you next time and we're in your ear holes again, take care. Let's go Avs. We'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
Do they not know that the microphone's on?